from the campus of Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington, you're listening to the G Suite Podcast, where we discuss all things Zag business.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Excellent.
I'm going skiing tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited. Oh. So they've had 5 feet in like 3 days. So
I was going to say our ski season is finally here, right?
No kidding. Well, thank you so much for hanging out today. Excited to chat with you, to get to know you a little bit.
Yes.
And I looked a little bit at some of your background, and you are not currently in a professional role that your degree would lend itself towards. Yes,
but you are correct.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. I would love to hear. Take me back to your high school days. How Gonzaga is on your radar, and we'll start there.
Well, I'm going to tell you. So I had an eclectic journey to Gonzaga as well. I go back to high school, and what I was all about in high school was cheerleading.
That's awesome.
Yes, that was my thing. And when I was graduating, I got offered an opportunity to cheer out at Eastern Washington University. They had a freshman squad. And so I was going to do that because all I wanted to do was cheer. I loved it and I thought it was amazing. And of course, as I was heading into our summer cheer session, we got notified that funding had been cut and they were cutting the cheer squad. And so my college cheer dreams were dashed. And wow. So I did 2 quarters out at Eastern, and I just decided that wasn't a spot for me. It wasn't where I wanted to be. Nothing against Eastern. It's a great institution, but just wasn't working for me. And so I didn't know what I wanted to do, had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up, and transferred to Spokane Falls Community College just to start knocking out undergraduates and figure out where I was going to go.
Totally.
And there I fell in love with music, and particularly music production is what I ended up thinking I wanted to do. And so had taken a bunch of audio engineering courses and really was geared up and was thinking that was a path I was going to go down, was going to transfer to a school that specialized in that. And my advisor sat me down right before I was graduating and said, I just want to walk through a music career and what that might look like for you. And just so you go in kind of eyes wide open, that it's not the glamorous life you may think it is. It's a hard, a hard path, and there's lots of sacrifices you may make. So I want you to really think about if this is what you want to do. Like, do you want a family? Do you want a life? Do you want to be on the road all the time? Those kinds of things. And of course, in your, 19-year-old head, I did take his advice. I thought about it and I went to him the next day and I said, I do not want to do this. I need to think about something else. And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do accounting. And he laughed at me. But when I was doing my other courses, I took a bunch of business courses and accounting was one of them. And it was one of those things that was really hard at first. And then as soon as I kind of figured it out, I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is really interesting. And we had to do a lot of business and music. So there was contracts and there was all kinds of financial things that were embedded in that. And I thought, I think it'll be a good field for me. And so he's like, great, we'll get you all connected. Where do you want to go kind of thing? I said, I want to stay local. And so I want to go to Gonzaga, and that's where I want to be. I knew I liked the smaller school, the smaller campus environment, and thought that was where I'd be. So that's how I ended up getting to Gonzaga and getting into accounting.
Wow. So you're from Spokane. Did you grow up?
I am born and raised. Yeah. Okay. Still here now.
And I think when you and I were at Gonzaga, it was a lot smaller of a place. It's still a small place, but it's definitely different.
Oh, it was not the campus that it is today when I was there.
That's so cool. So you come here, you have your associate's degree.
Yep.
And you're studying accounting. I'm going to guess you had K-Carns.
I was just going to say, step into Dr. Beer's intermediate accounting class. Yeah. That was my first class, my first day. Wow. And I thought to myself, what did I just get myself into?
Yeah, that's so I saw him probably about a half an hour ago.
He's
he's retired. He's still, but he after about a semester of not teaching, he came back as an adjunct. So he teaches a couple of principals classes and
awesome.
Still plays noon ball of all things.
That's good. So nothing's changed.
Right, right.
Does he still do the exercise where when he starts the class, he has students yell out numbers and he writes them all on the board and then he like adds them up like ridiculously fast?
I will ask him. I will absolutely ask him. Because he did that when I was a student for sure. I don't know. I'm sure he does. Yeah. The one thing I remember about him, I think my first day of class with him, he walked in and he basically said, make sure you read the syllabus, and then went on the board problem number one. It was just like, you know, we're expecting, oh, it's syllabus day, right?
Right.
No, there was like 2 seconds and then we're going right to the material. So
I have held on to that advice too. And I tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, you need to read that syllabus when you get into a class. Like, don't mess around.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you're on the journey. You got beer in 360 and 361. You make it through the major. Did you go for the cheer squad?
No, I didn't. By that time I had long given up my cheer dreams and I realized I'm just going to go full into this accounting thing. And I will say there was a moment in my accounting journey there that, it was after one of the first tests in intermediate accounting. And everyone in the class said, this is the weed out test, right? This is the one where we get rid of the people who are really not serious about it. And of course, I didn't do as well on that test as I had hoped I was going to do. I mean, it wasn't like the worst thing, but for me, it was not a great score and I hadn't really had that experience. And I went, as soon as we got the results back and we went through everything and class got out, I went upstairs to talk to Dr. Beer and I get up there and there's a line of people outside of his door, right? And I'm like, oh, this is it. It's the weed out thing. And I sat down and I said, Dr. Beer, like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Like, maybe this isn't for me. And he just looked at me and he said, Kelly, you're fine. Get out of my office.
Get out of your office.
Just get out. You're good.
That's awesome. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And then, you graduated in accounting. Are you CPA? Did you take the CPA exam?
I did sit for the exam and I passed the exam. But so the other interesting part of my journey was, you know, that back then, like it was what the big five they had whittled down to. And so they have a process and, you know, recruiting and interviewing process that you go through. Well, I was getting married right after I got graduated. And that was a known thing. And my fiance at the time, he was in the military. And so we had been told that he was going to be moved somewhere and we didn't know where. And so I said, so we were going to get married right after graduation and then we were going to go. So I didn't go through the recruiting. I didn't do any of that because I didn't know where I was going to be. Well, in true military fashion, of course, as soon as, you know, you make that decision and you graduate, they say, oh, guess what? You're going to stay here. And so now I didn't go through recruiting. So all of those positions are sort of absorbed right now. And I had no idea what I was going to do. I was like, I guess I'm going to have to start looking for some type of bookkeeping, you know, accounting job, whatever. And I ended up applying for a job at, which was then Washington Water Power.
Yeah,
And my dad worked for Washington Water Power, but I had made up in my head, I never wanted to work there because it was, you know, in my head, quite possibly the most boring industry you could possibly be in. And why would you want to work there? But I needed a job. So, you know, sent out the applications, ended up getting the job. Turns out it was in their corporate accounting. Basically, they're, you know, kind of doing the month end closing of the books and preparing all the financial statements kind of a thing. Turned out it was the exact same job that my dad had right after he graduated from college and he had a degree in accounting. And so very, very bizarre path, but ended up then working for Avista for about 16 years. And it was a great journey. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And you have an MBA as well from Gonzaga.
I went back and got my MBA from Gonzaga.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're working your way up through the ranks of the finance accounting at the public utility.
Yep.
Where did you stray off course? I guess.
Where did I go? Yes, yes. Avista, they do a great job of moving folks around. So the really nice thing was that I got to work in various aspects of their accounting and finance kind of world. So I did, just kind of did the traditional accounting. I worked in budget and forecast. I really enjoyed forecasting, budgeting. Like, that was a really fun ride. And then I moved over into their resource accounting area, and I accounted for the natural gas, on the natural gas side of their business. And there was a position that got opened up on their operations side that was an analyst, a heavy analyst role for their integrated resource planning. And so I moved into that position, and that was really interesting because it was kind of it got to marry like some of my, analytic skills. So keeping a lot of that finance piece and the accounting piece of it, but then getting to think about regulatory and policy and how that impacts, supply and demand models and rate forecasts and things like that. And I found that really fascinating. And that's probably what I loved most about what I love most. And if I think about careers in the, financial industry, is really those long-term forecasting, scenario planning, like all that stuff gets, I find it fascinating. It's super interesting to me.
The forward-looking stuff.
Really forward-looking. Like, it's okay putting, debits and credits and closing entries and reconciling accounts, but like, the stuff that I find really interesting is that forward-looking work. So,
So a lot of, sorry to interrupt here, but
no, you're great.
I think it was like on LinkedIn or YouTube or something where it was like, oh, here's how you define accounting versus finance. Accounting looks back and finance looks forward. But I don't think that's entirely true, I'm totally with you on that, is what I'm saying. And you kind of have to have that accounting knowledge to do a good job at the forecast. But you were saying something. Go ahead, continue.
So I was doing that. And then I decided, it was like, I kind of needed a change. I needed to do something a little different, and had young kids at the time. And it was just kind of going through a lot of things in life, and life changes. And I just decided it was time to do something new. And so I did something new completely. And I went and worked for a colleague of mine whose husband owned a marketing firm, of all things.
Go on.
Because why not, right? An accountant totally lends itself to marketing, right? Well, it turned out what they needed was someone who had really good project management, financial acumen, who could kind of work with clients. They were a high-tech marketing firm, so they worked with, advanced manufacturing companies and companies in the tech space. And it was great. It was a work-from-home opportunity, so I got to do that with my kids being young, learn a little bit about the marketing biz, and work with some really cool, clients that were, more global or national in scale. And it was great. And I liked it, and I was having a good time. And then a colleague of mine from Avista called me and said, hey, there's this company called Schweitzer Engineering. It's down in Pullman, Washington. They need a manager of government affairs, and I think you should look at it. And I laughed because I said, I'm not an attorney, and I'm also not a lobbyist. Like, I don't have a degree in public policy. I don't know why you would think at all that this is something that I could do. And he said to me, you were doing it when you at your job at Avista, like you were managing the integrated resource plan. You were doing all kinds of policy work. You were interacting with regulators. You were telling the stories, and that's all that this, all lobbying is. So I think you should apply for it. And at the time I was like, why not just go through the process, see what it's about, learn about this company who I don't even know who they are. Like, so I did, I applied, I went through the process. The company is amazing. They do some really cool and interesting things. And lo and behold, they gave me the job. And so here I am now, like, full on government relations job.
That's so crazy. So, and are you, but you're based in Spokane? They have
a lot. I am. Of yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I have a lot. Yeah. Of
yeah.
Incredible company that, I mean, are you guys like in 120, 30 countries? I mean, some
SEL was like in, it was 180 countries or some crazy number like that. Like, yeah. It's pretty, nobody knows, like, this little sleeper company in your backyard that is this global conglomerate doing these amazing things on the electric power system. Like, it was super fascinating company to work for. They're employee owned. It's got a really great culture. They do a lot of really, really cool things. And it was a really good ride. But it was I had like all of the states on the west side, so like Texas over, and it was a lot.
So are you are like so you're talking to regulators basically? You're
oh yeah, regulators, legislators, governors, Congress, yeah, the whole works.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of.
Yeah.
I've done some, so I'm on the very fortunate to be on the Washington Society of CPA board.
Yeah.
Which is nowhere near the cool stuff that you're doing, but we go to Olympia and then DC once a year. And this is what I've learned from it. This is how sophisticated I am. A $1,000 donation gets you 1 hour, a cup of coffee, and a cell phone number of a representative at the state level. And then in DC, the experience was $10,000. Not my money. There's tax, right. But it was
there's
but
tax money for that. Yeah.
And then, but you didn't get the cell phone number. And depending on how high up the congressperson was, you might have gotten an aide kind of deal.
Maybe you'll get their senior. Yeah, their
maybe.
Senior.
Yeah,
so. You're lucky.
And they didn't trust me with any senators, so I couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't have any opinion on that, but
yeah,
that's interesting. Wow. And I would imagine that role, you kind of have to be a Renaissance person, right? You have to know all the things your company's doing and how, and got to speak intelligently about it. I mean, maybe not be an expert, but.
Yeah, you got to know that. And then you got to know how policy gets made and how, you know, all these processes. And it's pretty fascinating. It's pretty fun work. It's really challenging. It's a big, three-dimensional chess kind of all the time. It's really fun.
Wow. Wow. But you didn't stop. You didn't stop there.
You kept going. I didn't stop there. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, perfect. I love it.
I got another great opportunity to come work at the Spokane International Airport here doing their government affairs with a team of folks that I really loved and had been working closely with on, you know, some different policy, workforce development, economic development initiatives. And, you know, they graciously offered me an opportunity to come work with them. And I jumped on that. And that was right before that little thing, the pandemic hit. And so I got hired like a few months before the stay home order got put in. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, they're going to have to fire me because nobody is flying.
Right.
Nobody's flying right now. Like it's a ghost town out here. And turned out to be a very active time for those of us in government relations, particularly in industries that were significantly impacted by the pandemic. And so we actually spent a ton of time working with both the state and the federal government on, you know, funding packages to make sure that airports were able to, you know, continue to provide services and that things were, you know, working. We were taking care of staff who were considered, you know, essential employees and things like that. So it was actually like it was a crash course in all learning all things about how airports work and FAA regulations. And, you know, that whole, it was like a whole new industry for me that I got in a fire hose in like 2 months and just had to go. And so it was a really fun time, which is crazy to think. It was not a fun time for lots of other reasons, but from a professional standpoint, it was a very, very fun time. And I learned a ton and just have a great appreciation for the transportation sector holistically. And while I was there, they nominated and I got appointed by the governor to serve on the Washington State Transportation Commission. So I currently represent Eastern Washington on the Statewide Transportation Commission. So I still am doing that transportation work.
Well, thank you for that work there. So, yeah. And then now when the pandemic hit, I had a 9-month-old. So I was already holed up anyway.
Yeah, you were already not leaving the house.
Did all air traffic stop for a certain period of time?
It was pretty much only essential air service that was moving. It was pretty eerie. Like the airport was a ghost town. I've never seen anything like it. Like we would walk into work and it was just, you know, lights are shut down. Basically only certain areas were kind of up and operational, and It was pretty weird for a fairly short period of time, and then it started to kind of slowly come back. But it was definitely a wild time.
Yeah, I remember seeing like pictures of flights with like one person on it.
One person on them. Mm-hmm.
Flight didn't go anyway.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So I'm forgetting his last name, Larry.
Larry Crowder. Yep.
Yes. I got a pair of Geiger socks
Oh, you got the coveted socks?
Yeah. He came here for a project. There were extras. I asked about them. I got a pair.
Yeah, that's special. I don't have a pair of those. It took me a long time just to get a mug. Like,
they're pretty awesome. They're snug too. I mean, they're not.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. They're good folks. Yep. And I was happy there, and I thought I was all good, and I was going to ride out my career in transportation. And then of course you get another call from somebody that says, hey, there's this little cool opportunity for you over here at this trade association that represents tech. And I was like,
so before it, and to that point, I think it's actually a point. Like,
yeah.
I think people that work hard and treat other people right and just have good energy like you do, I can totally sense it. These things happen. Like, people want to work with you, and your opportunities are gonna come. You're probably not even done. You're probably just warming up on this.
I'm just getting started. But, I always credit my good Jesuit education as being the fundamental base to all good things happening. And so that's how Gonzaga has helped me be able to launch into all these different things.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've had similar, I value my time here.
Yeah.
Similarly. So tell me a little bit before we jump to what you're doing now, the board, the transportation board.
Yeah.
What's the role there?
So we are, there's seven of us that serve on the commission from across the state, and our charter really is around developing policy for the transportation system. We also serve as the state's toll setting and ferry fare setting. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting endeavor. So it's really interesting. We get to go around to various communities. We get to hear about transportation, you know, issues and challenges that folks are having with, you know, project delivery maybe, or funding streams. And so we kind of serve as a little bit of a community outreach organization, I would say, but we also get to do a lot of deep research into things that are happening in the transportation system. Like, what is the landscape of tolling looking like across the nation? What is happening with autonomous vehicles? What about moving away from the gas tax to a road usage charge? Like, that's a big charge of ours, is to do all the research and analytics and studies and on that kind of thing. So it's pretty fascinating. And again, we cover all modes. So it's everything from trains and airplanes to cars and buses and bikes and, you know, pedestrian facilities. So it's pretty fascinating.
That is fascinating. And if I wanted a roundabout on the intersection near my house, you're the person to talk to. No, I'm totally just kidding. I can't get the city to call me back.
You can't get the city to call you back. I may have some people I can call for you.
That's fascinating. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? You have an increase in EV, electric vehicles, and you got to pay for roads one way or the other.
Infrastructure's there. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating. It's been really interesting that. And again, this is where I have to say, like, my accounting background has served me well all these years, because even in policy, like, I'll tell you, the one thing that drives it is the financial aspect of it, right? Every bill typically has some type of fiscal note associated with it. So you got to understand where the funding streams are, what the limitations on the funding streams are, what the forecast for that funding looks like. And so all these areas that I've worked in, like, my accounting background has served me well.
That's awesome to hear. That's awesome to hear. Yeah, it's definitely a structured. It's helped me organize my thoughts, I should say.
Yeah. Yes, it's a way of thinking.
Absolutely, and you know, and that's, I tell students that. I mean, this is a way. It's a different way of thinking that you're not quite used to. So it's going to take some time and some reps.
Yeah.
You can't just like roll in here like a class that. Like, let's say you're really good at math and you're really good at math in high school. You might be able to wing it on the test. You can't do it in accounting. It's just too different.
Yeah.
So, and then once you figure out financial accounting, you go do tax. It's just a totally different world.
It's totally different world. Remind me to tell you the story about Dr. Weber and tax.
Okay.
We've got a good one there. He'll love it.
And then I think I saw, this might've been like within the last year, there's some electric ferries. The new ferries are ordering are electric.
Yep, all electric.
I want to say Pete Buttigieg came and rode it.
He did, yeah. Did he came out. Meet him? I didn't meet him on that. I actually met him when he came out to the airport, and I have to say I was totally fangirling. Like, he's pretty amazing. But he came out. Yeah, he's a really good individual. He's really smart and very thoughtful, I have to say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so then you're moving on from the airport. Another opportunity comes. Someone snags you up, and now we're at today. What do we got going on?
Today, we're working for Washington Technology Industry Association. We're a statewide tech association that represents about 1,000 companies across the state in the tech space. Everybody, from the icons you would think of, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Amazons, to hundreds and hundreds of small to medium-sized startup enterprises that are just doing these really, really cool things that nobody knows about. So it's a pretty fascinating association to be involved with, and our charge is really about making sure that we have a robust and equitable tech sector that supports thriving communities. Pretty basic, but really the tech sector is about 25% of the state's economic output. We are the largest employer in the state, and basically every company has become a tech company because of the reliance upon technology to support their operations. And so from a workforce side, which is where we really lean in, that's the need. We need more people, more employees in the tech space. And so growing that base of employees to support every sector that needs tech employees is really our charge.
AI is the buzz now. Everyone's talking AI. What's your feelings on where we're headed and what's happening
I'm bullish on it. I think I'm an optimist, I think, at heart. And so there's a lot of noise right now. There's a lot of negativity, a lot of concerns. And I'm not saying there's not valid things to be concerned about, but I think the opportunity set that comes with it is pretty phenomenal. I also think there's a lot we collectively, citizens, I think don't understand or don't appreciate. And, I was actually just yesterday over in Seattle talking on a panel about AI and policy and what does that look like. And it was funny because it's like most people don't understand. You've been using artificial intelligence for decades now,
Right.
right? Like it's been embedded in everything that you've done. We just now have an application that is new. It's more novel with, generative AI or ChatGPT is, what everybody thinks about. But, the technology itself has been around for a long, long time. We just now have, better computing, better energy sources, all these things that made it possible to do things faster and better than we have in the past. But I loved one of the scientists that was at this event with me last night. He said, if people really understood, instead of talking about AI and ChatGPT, if they really said, do you want to talk about statistics? Like how boring that conversation would be and how completely unsexy this whole conversation would be. But that's all it's doing. It's just doing probabilistic analysis on what is the next thing, most likely thing to show up, whether it's a pixel for an image or a word for a story that you're writing or whatever that is. But that's all it's doing. It's not smart. It's really dumb. Even the, most advanced AI is not, it's not smart. So we shouldn't get ourselves too worked up about,
Well,
it
that's
being
the thing.
Skynet.
Yeah, it was like when it rolled out, and like Elon's like, let's pause it, and everyone's like, they're gonna take over the world. But and so my expectations were really high.
Yeah.
But then I started dabbling with tax stuff, and I was like, this is garbage.
It's
Like,
really not good.
and it's, I mean, it's we have, for assignments or I'm on the admissions committee for the grad programs here, and so I read a lot of essays for personal statements.
Yeah.
And most you can read, I mean, it can be pretty obvious, but we put it through detection anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been underwhelmed thus far. Now, what do they say about tech? Like, you overestimate in the short term, but way underestimate in the long
That's
term.
long
Famous
term, that's
last
probably true. But
line.
I think it'll get down to like we're gonna right now it's kind of out there, it's novel, everyone's playing with it, and what's gonna happen as all things do with tech, right? Is that it starts to get narrowed down to what is the real use case for this technology that is the best use case for it. Like it's probably not for some of the things that we're using right now, but in terms of research, like I think in the healthcare industry, there's like huge opportunity sets around how it can help, more quickly get to, solutions to these really complex problems that humans just we don't have the capability. The real, literally the horsepower to do it in a in a fast fashion, right? We can get there. It's just normally would take us 2 years, 10 years, 20 years to get there, right? This can do it in 20 seconds. So, you know, I think we'll get there with it. I'm, like I said, I'm optimistic, maybe overly optimistic, but not to say we don't have some hurdles to get through in the meantime.
Well, there's so much crazy amounts of data out there too.
Yeah.
I was talking to, I guess my life's all accounting, so it always comes back to accounting, but a big four accounting firm purchased a analytics company that does like the NBA schedule. And there's like over 1 million data points just go into one season schedule. When you think of union contracts and concert schedules and all these. That's insane. I mean, I don't know how you would do that without some of this computing.
Right, without this horsepower, yeah.
Wow. So you probably get to meet some pretty cool people in your space. I mean, entrepreneurial and pretty smart. Who's the most famous person you met?
Most famous person I've met?
Do you have Bill?
No, you know, they don't let Bill out. They don't let Satya out much. They try to keep those folks. And those folks, honestly, like, they have security details. And so they're,
I'm sure.
Very, that's a great question. You know what? And I'm the worst because I am, like, so not attuned to famous people, really. Like, the most famous people I meet to me are like political people. I just that you see, like, I was standing next to Chuck Schumer at the airport in DC, and it was like, all I was like, oh my gosh, that's like Chuck Schumer's right here. And then you're like, I felt again, like, I feel like such a fangirl when I'm like Pete Buttigieg, like, I have to get a selfie with Pete, and then I'm like, this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened.
I'm yeah, totally. One time I was walking, this is totally random, I'm sorry, this is how I roll. I was downtown Seattle, and I was walking down the street, and this gentleman who looked very familiar to me was walking towards me, and so I just kind of assumed I knew him, and I kind of stopped and embraced him, and then his name came to me. It was Ken Burns.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I can't. And then, like, halfway through it, I was like, no, we don't know each other.
Even is that right? We don't know.
I watch a whole lot of YouTube or PBS. And he was just kind of like, he was very nice. He was fat, but he was kind of like, where's my security detail? I need that.
Great. Like, who let this guy pass?
So absolute craziness. So, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. You follow the Zags? You follow the Zags this year at all? Women and men?
Yeah. It's been a more of a hand gnashing year for us all, right?
For sure. Hasn't helped.
And then I'm always like, then I'm kind of superstitious. So then I'm like, well, maybe I just need to like check out this year, like, and that will help them. And as soon as I did, honestly, then they went on a run. And so now I'm like, I want to jump back in, but I don't want to break the streak. Like, I'm very baseball, like, superstition.
This is your responsibility.
I'm going to stay out. I'm going to like pray in the background, but you know, I'm just going to stay out.
Find something to do, go on walks, what have you.
So, exactly. People will let me know.
No, it's been nice to turn around. Hopefully we can peak at the right time. And
I think so. We were just saving it up. We were keeping it exciting. That's maybe how we'll look at it.
Yeah, for sure. Do you make it to any games or anything?
I have not been to any games this year, like I said. It was like, I have to kind of check out, I think. I was supposed to go to a game a couple of weeks ago, and then my schedule has been nuts. When legislative session is in, I'm usually down in Olympia a lot, so it gets a little crazy. And
yeah, so are you going to D.C. at all, or are you just...
Go to D.C. I'm in Olympia in D.C. now. Yep. Not as much D.C. Usually D.C. just a couple times a year. And I love going over there. I think it's a pretty fascinating place to be.
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, now I guess I never had to live there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to live there, but I do enjoy my time there.
I've always just been odd, but I guess my stops are always, you know, 2 to 3 days max or something like that. So, and you're probably super MVP on Alaska by now. So good for you.
I've worked my way back. Yes.
For sure. Over Well, that's pretty cool. Well,
yeah.
So, I was thinking earlier, you know, like, what, and you actually kind of already answered this on the accounting side, but, but you've done this variety of cool things. And it sounds like, you know, having a business and accounting background was helpful. I mean, you had to adjust and figure out what's next, and that's awesome. When you're making the leap to a, like a totally like to marketing, right?
Yeah,
and then over
yeah.
To whatever the government affairs or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, so first day on the job, what do you? Are you just like, I got to learn as much as I? How do you approach that? I'd be so overwhelmed.
Well, you know, it's, I think what it's funny is someone is asking me that the other day too. They're like, how do you like, you know, how do you go from energy to advanced manufacturing to transportation to tech? Like, and you don't have like any degree in training in any of that, those fields. Like that's not, you know, what you, you know, would have picked for an industry or what you lean towards. And I think for me, I'm super curious. Like I love to know how things work. So for me, it is like each time I go in, it's like starting school all over again, right? It's like reading the syllabus. Okay. Like what is, you know, what's the landscape of this industry? Like what are the, who are the players? Who are the, you know, it's like op research a little bit. Like what are we doing? Who's there? Who's not there? Why are they there? What do they do? And I love that part. Like that's what gets me super excited is again meeting all these really cool people, learning all kinds of crazy new things that I never even had any exposure to at all, didn't know was out there. Oftentimes right in your own backyard kind of things. And so I just, and I love that process for me. It's like getting to be in school all the time and getting paid for it. It's kind of just kind of a great deal. So that's how I approach a new industry is just a little.
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes towards, you know, being a lifelong learner, always just kind of in your curiosity. I think it makes it interesting. And I know Kelly Thompson was telling me that she saw you at, was it like a student competition, a tech competition? Was it entrepreneurial? What was
it? It was an entrepreneur award event. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And just you're thinking, hey, this is kind of techie and or this is kind of in my wheelhouse or I'm into that or whatever.
It's a partner organization we work with that, you know, so they're like, hey, you should come to this event. And I'm like, absolutely going to come to this event because it's here in Spokane. And I'm super, one of the things, one of my charges and one of the things I'm trying to help the organization do is obviously there's a huge pull for tech in the King County area. But there's lots of tech happening all across the state we need to better serve all of our tech communities and figure out ways we can be better partners, you know, across state. You know, like I joke a lot, especially when I'm over on the west side, that their east side stops in Bellevue, right? And you always have to remind them that no, they're like, there's a real east side. And so I'm here to be that reminder that there's a lot of really cool things happening over there. And like, don't count us out. Like we're not.
That's like my, and I even take it a step further. I will distinguish between Central Washington and Eastern Washington because they're like anything east of the mountain, it's just all Eastern Washington. I'm like, No.
Yeah.
There's different areas.
There's very different areas doing very different things. And so, yep. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's why it's always nice when the Zags do well because, you know,
it is.
We're over here. We're
it is the one thing though that like that's kind of the unifying language. Like they're like, oh, Gonzaga. You're like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's happening here.
For sure. You know, my wife, it's called Ignite now in town. Tom Simpson runs.
Oh yeah, Ignite Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Ignite Northwest. She worked with one of Innovate Washington, and before that it was a called CERTI, I think.
Yeah.
But she was a project manager, and she would travel to all corners of the state. She's from Florida, so she's been to more parts of Washington than I did. And to your point of cool stuff happening on the east side, I mean, there was cool stuff happening there. You would never imagine. In small towns, be it like a brewery or a coffee shop or some manufacturing, it's a pretty incredible space. I'm jealous of you and the cool stuff you get to do.
It's pretty. I mean, like ag tech, I had no idea like the cool stuff that's actually happening in farming and agriculture, and like it is mind blowing what's happening in our farm communities. Like the things they're doing are crazy. I mean, crazy.
Crazy on all levels. I mean, their combines are like spaceships now.
Yes.
Like running in
precision fertilization, like all kind, you know, like temperature measuring of all aspects of their field so they can get just the right amount of, you know, irrigation to certain areas based on the slope of the land and the type of the soil. Like, I mean, it just, this is not like my garden out back where maybe it gets water-ish, and then I wonder why, like, how come my tomatoes aren't growing? Like,
yeah, no, totally. I have to have, I think they're called succulents is what I have, just because it's
yes,
pretty much
because they
impossible to
just,
kill. Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
I've tried, trust me.
Yeah.
No, I can see farming. Okay, this is way out of my wheelhouse, but just doing it from your living room eventually, you know, just getting on your
Really,
computer
on your
and
computer,
sending off
controlling
stuff.
it with your phone.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of cool things. You've had quite the journey. What would be your advice to the budding graduate? And I'm almost thinking, like, what was your key to success? Almost like, what was it? I mean, how did you end up doing all this cool stuff other than just being a cool person? But to that end, what would your advice be to?
I'll tell you what I tell my kids is build your network. And what I would tell college students, what I would tell your students is A, keep being curious, like asking a lot of questions, ask why all the time, why five times, right? Really dig into things, find out why things work the way they do, really challenge that. And I also tell my kids, like, build a relationship with your professors. Like, don't just show up and then, do your work and leave. Like, engage, ask questions, meet with them in their office hours, spend time with them because they're going to help you and you're going to need them at various points in time. Like, again, if I hadn't had a relationship with Dr. Beer by the time I got to his intermediate accounting class and got that weed out test, like, I wouldn't have had the courage to go into his office and say, like, look, I don't think I can do this. And then for him to say to me, no, you can do this. 'Cause he knows me. He's spent time with me. I've been in there asking questions. I've been in, after hours and trying to figure things out and really showing an interest in my process. So I tell my kids that all the time. I said, do not underestimate the power of creating relationships with your professors. Whether you're in a big, auditorium like classroom or you're in small classrooms, like, make the effort to do that. I think it's really important. And they also will help you as you launch. I mean, there's been times in my career where I have reached out to past professors or I have reached out to fellow students in my class that, hey, I'm thinking about this, I'm not sure. And then you have a sounding board to talk things through. And then as you get out into the world, again, like, don't be afraid to try something new. Like, so that was one of the keys to my career, I think, was just always saying yes to opportunity, even if I didn't really know or I didn't know that I would like it. I just said, okay, I'm going to try this because it's going to grow me no matter what. And it's going to help me. Either I'm going to do it and I'm going to like it, or I'm going to do it and I'm going to realize that's not quite what I really like. And maybe I need to pivot and go over here. So I think the people that do well are the ones who are willing to take risks, take opportunity, and really challenge themselves. Try not to get too comfortable where you're at. I'm
You had
still
to
looking back and saying I should have got my law degree because everybody thinks I'm a lawyer in this field that I'm in because it is typically housed with lawyers. And I'm like, nope, I just play one on TV. I have no law
Well,
degree.
let me say this, and I can say this. I shouldn't say this, but I can say this because I went to law school. Any idiot can be a lawyer. That's I'm just saying. That's not to say there are not some brilliant attorneys out there that do great things, but yeah, you didn't need to go to law school. You're doing better work. So
I'll tell you the other field that I wish had been more of a thing when I was in accounting is forensic accounting.
yes,
I was talking to a
people
friend of mine,
killing.
and her cousin or something owns this forensic accounting, consult, firm or whatever. And she was telling me about it. I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds so interesting. I'm like, she's like, you should talk to him. And then she goes, no, wait a minute, you should not talk to him because we want you to keep doing what you're doing here. But I was like, well, maybe I should go. This
Yeah,
sounds interesting.
it's fascinating. We have a colleague on the faculty that's a CFE, and we have some programs in the grad school. We have a class on it. You know, the auditors, it lends itself to that. But it's been cool. I've been fortunate having met kind of the extended family, the Regis family, through through pure luck. I got to be the first Regis chair. We were going to rotate it every 5 years, but a lot of them are in the FBI, and it's been fun to get to know them and hear all the cool
I
stories.
bet. Super interesting. See, super interesting. There's so
yeah
much out there.
yeah yeah so yeah and it's I mean, one of the things that I've also been involved with the Washington Society of CPAs, the variety of cool things accountants do, has been totally eye-opening to me as well. So but
yeah, now you know they can be lobbyists too.
Yeah. And I mean,
you
I
can
know,
add that.
I knew a guy that was in, we're talking about lawyers, who ended up being a litigator. And he said, he's basically like, being an accounting major helped me out to be a litigator. Like, I wouldn't have put that together. You're telling me being a lobbyist does that too. So, hey, pretty much everyone should study accounting. You heard it here first, folks. On the G Suites.
That's
we go in that direction. So, yeah.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, well, that's so awesome. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for the time. It's awesome to meet you. And
awesome to meet you.
We got to get you on campus sometime here.
Let's do it. I'm here. Yeah. Let's do it.
Thank you for listening to the G Suite Podcast. This episode was produced and hosted by Andrew Brasich and edited by Jack Talbot. To find more G Suite and many other podcasts on the Gonzaga Podcast Network, remember to check out gonzaga.edu/podcasts. Thanks again.